Galatians 5:25, the theme verse we've been looking on for a number of weeks. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We've been looking at Galatians chapter 5. Actually, we've done 15 weeks on Galatians 5. This is our last week, week 16. So I thank you for your patience. And I enjoyed the series, and I hope you did as well. Series about walking in the Spirit. And so we're going to sum that up this morning, all that we've talked about. I want to begin by reminding you of the context of Galatians chapter 5. Galatia, it's an area that's Turkey now. That's where the churches of Lystra and Derbe and Antioch, Pisidian Antioch is in that whole area. You can look at your map at the back of the Bible. You'll see where Galatia. So it was a group of churches, and Paul was writing this letter to this group of churches because they had become Christians. They had received the Holy Spirit. But a group of Jewish teachers were coming in, telling these Christians that they had to follow the Jewish law in order to be acceptable before God. They had to get circumcised. They had to keep the eating laws that were in the Old Testament in order to be true Christians. And so God, Paul is writing this letter to them to remind them of a number of things that he had taught them. He wants to remind them that they're free in Christ, free from the penalty of sin, free from the Old Testament law, free from the power of the flesh, free from the power of sin, and free to walk in the Spirit. And that's particularly what Galatians 5 focuses on. Paul writes and warns them that if they go back to following the law, they're going to go back into the slavery that they once had in their slavery to sin. If they indulge the flesh and continue in their sin, they will continue in their slavery to sin. And so what they are to do is to walk in the Spirit, understand what Christ has done for them, and walk in the Spirit. By walking in the Spirit, they will fulfill the law. It's not like the New Testament says, just ignore the Old Testament law. Rather, the law is fulfilled when you walk in the Spirit. We actually read that in Romans 13 as we began the service. So by walking in the Spirit, they would fulfill the law. By walking in the Spirit, they wouldn't indulge the flesh and live in sin, but walk in victory over sin. By walking in the Spirit, they would serve one another in love, and they would be pleasing to God. Paul wants the Galatians, and of course God wants us as well, to learn how to walk in the Spirit and to enjoy the freedom for which Christ has set us free. And walking in the Spirit produces this beautiful harvest of the fruit of the Spirit, which we talked about last week. So, and by the way, we're posting our messages now on the website, so you can listen to any of those if you've missed one, if you haven't been away for a week or something like that. And also the outline of this sermon is online as well. If you want to just read the script, it's on there as well. So let's look at a summary of chapter 5. I've kind of got a checklist here of 5 points, and you can follow along in your bulletin. They're in your bulletin as well. And we'll just expand on that outline as we go through. Here's what Paul wants them to know and to do in order to walk in the Spirit. Number one, walking in the Spirit begins by receiving the Spirit at conversion. You can't walk in the Spirit until you have the Spirit. That's what Galatians 5:25 says. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And before you can even walk in the Spirit, you need to have the Spirit. And to have the Spirit, you need to be a born-again Christian. That's a definition of a Christian, if you want to say it that way. A Christian is a person who has the Holy Spirit of God living in them because they have undergone a supernatural transformation by the Spirit. I was talking to a fellow this week who has undergone that transformation, and his whole life has changed, and people are noticing the change, and it's by the Spirit of God that has come into their life. A true Christian is one who has trusted Christ for salvation and who has received the Holy Spirit inside of them. Let me invite you to turn. Actually, you probably don't even have to turn because it's the book of Ephesians, which is the very next book after Galatians. And we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. So if you've got your Bible open to Galatians 5, you've probably got it open to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 already. Let me read that verse to you. You also were included in Christ. That's our union with Christ. We talked about that a number of weeks. You also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, pay attention to this, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. Those who belong to God, God has put His Spirit into their life, and that is a deposit which guarantees eternal life. You need that deposit, that seal of the Spirit in your life to truly show that you are a believer. At this day and age, it's easy to go to a crusade or a conference or something with all this emotional music and emotional appeals and put up your hand and people will say, you know, you're a Christian now, everything's fine, and nothing has taken place in your life. No transformation has taken place, no change has taken place, the Spirit of God has not come into your life, and that's a false hope. And many people today are living with a false hope because that Spirit of God is not in their life. True conversion produces a changed life, a desire for God and the things of God, a desire for holiness, and a determination to turn away from sin. So make sure that you have the Spirit of God in your life. And if you don't, I'd like to talk to you about that. And God says that in Christ, everyone can have God's Spirit and walk in Him. Walking in the Spirit begins with the Spirit's work of conversion and His coming to live inside of you. So that's the first thing we talked about over a number of weeks was the Spirit needs to be in your life. Number two, the next step is to have a full understanding of justification by faith. One of the most important truths in Scripture, especially for a young Christian, is to know this truth of justification by faith. It's a long word. I'm not going to try to find a simpler word. It's a biblical word. So understand, you know, like I said, how to spell the word, what the word means, and what God wants to do in your life through justification by faith. Justification by faith is the truth that God fully and completely and always accepts me as righteous before God because Jesus Christ died for me on the cross, paid the penalty for my sin, and gave me His righteousness. I am perfectly righteous before God in Christ, and I will always be in that standing no matter what my experience of life is. That's the truth of justification by faith. I no longer have to strive to be right with God by works because I'm right with God by faith. In Christ, I'm free from the condemnation and the demands of the law. I am righteous before God in Christ. That doesn't mean I'm claiming to be live in sinless perfection. And if I believe that, I would be deluded. I am just claiming that my standing, my position, what God sees when He looks at me is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and He declares me righteous before God in Christ. That's what salvation is all about. The Jewish teachers were coming to the Galatian believers and telling them they had to keep the law in order to be righteous before God. And the gospel of Paul and the gospel of the New Testament teaches that we are righteous before God not by works, but by faith in Christ. And that was the conflict that was going on in the churches of Galatia. Let me read to you. You can follow along with me if you want. Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 to 6, what Paul writes to the Galatian believers here. He says, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourself be circumcised," in other words, if you go back to following the Old Testament ways, "if you let yourself be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. And that righteousness is the righteousness that is found in Christ. Philippians chapter 3 would be a good chapter to read on that if you wanted to read about Paul's righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And that's what walking in the Spirit is. Walking in faith and expressing that faith through love. Great definition again of the Christian life. Faith expressing itself through love. Galatians chapter 3 verses 1 to 9. I just want to read a couple more verses here. Chapter 3 verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? In other words, was the Spirit of God, did it come to you by the law or by faith? Obviously, it came by faith. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? And then he focuses on Abraham. Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you, and that's through Abraham's seed, which is Christ. Further on in the chapter it says that. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. So we walk in righteousness before God by faith in Christ. We are justified by faith. Nothing changes that status before God for the person who truly belongs to God. It's important that we get right teaching and get biblical teaching. And justification is that teaching. And Paul was trying to show the Galatians the truth of the revelation of the gospel. Law of any kind, that's any standard you want to put up, whether it's the Jewish standard, whether it's a church standard, whether it's your mother's standard, whether it's a standard you invented in an eclectic gathering together of all kinds of different standards, law will not deliver you from sin and give you the power to overcome sin. You can only overcome sin by walking in the Spirit. And Paul gives a real good verse on that in Colossians 2:23, and I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there. Such regulations, and he's listed a whole bunch of regulations before this, indeed have an appearance of wisdom. It looks really good. You know, you're just starving yourself, and you're fasting here, and you're not doing this, and you're not doing that. And such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. They lack any value. There's no power anywhere except in the Spirit. And that's why God wants us to walk in the Spirit. And that's why He gave us the Spirit, so that we could walk in victory over sin. So we need to live each day knowing that we are justified by faith. And I think too often we know the truth, but don't apply the truth to our everyday life. And so I want to give you an example of how that truth might be applied in a particular situation, and then we'll move on to our third point this morning. You're walking along with some friends from your old life, and they start gossiping, and you join in to the gossip, you suddenly feel very bad about that. You go home, and why did I do that? I hate it when I do that. That was so dumb. You're channel surfing, and you come across something you should not watch, and you decide to watch it. Very common today. That's why I don't like to watch TV at all. and I certainly don't have a remote, and I can look up what I want to watch and focus on that, and that's it. Channel surfing is very dangerous, especially for men. You lose your temper while arguing with your spouse. What do you do then? Well, what do you do to respond to these kind of things? Do you get so depressed and discouraged at your constant failure that you decide to give up the Christian life because you can't keep the holy demands and you don't think you ever will? Your heart wants to do what's right, but it never seems to work out. And so you're going to give up. And I've talked to different people, like I said, who have given up the Christian life because they felt they could never live it out. It's a common response, but it's not a faith response. It's a works response. Let me explain that to you. Being discouraged with your failure is falling back into thinking that you need to earn God's acceptance by keeping a righteous standard and thinking that you can actually do it. Thinking that when you sin against God, you have to claw your way back into right standing with God. That's not justification by faith. That's justification by works, meaning thinking that you have to live in a certain way in order for God to accept you. It's not an understanding of justification and being right with God by faith. I will never be able to please God on my own, but only in Jesus Christ, His Son. I will never live up to God's standard except in Christ Jesus. That's why God sent Jesus Christ in the first place. If we could attain in our own strength, in our own way, in our own standards, a righteousness before God, we would not need Christ. In fact, I think Paul says that in Galatians chapter 2. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Christ died for nothing. And He didn't die for nothing. He died that we might be righteous before God in Christ. So if you know the truth of justification by faith, and you choose to live by it, this is what you would do. You would confess your sin to God. You would be sorry for your sin to God. But you would also thank God that you continue to be accepted as righteous before Him in Christ. And you would live as if you were righteous before God in Christ. If you beat yourself up because you have failed to keep your high standards, you're expressing belief in your own righteousness and not the righteousness that is in Christ. When you live in the truth of justification by faith, you will thank God that you are righteous in God's sight. You will ask for strength to live a holy and loving life. You will ask God to help you make better choices. You will seek to know God better and increase your vision of God so that sin loses its appeal and its draw upon you. But all of that knowing that you are fully and completely and always accepted before God in Christ. Justification by faith places our hope and trust in Christ and not in ourselves, even when we fall into sin. Slowly but surely, you will see holiness take shape in your life, and you will give God glory for His truth of justification by faith and for the power of the Holy Spirit that is working love and holiness in your life. You will not be discouraged and quit over and over again. Rather, you will be empowered by the grace of God and the love of God who accepts you in Christ. Justification is a must for walking in the Spirit. And I spent more time on that than the others because I just think it's such an important truth to have. Number three, Paul also warns the Galatians that not being under the law does not mean they can live a lawless life and turn back to sin. This truth of justification by faith can lead us to think, well, if I am always right before God in Christ, I can never change that. Even if I sin, then why not just sin and continually be accepted before God? That's the question, Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Shall we go on sinning that grace might abound? Paul says, certainly not, because if you are truly a Christian, a transformation has taken place in your life. And he explains that in Romans chapter 6. And so Paul says not to indulge in the flesh to the Christian because there's that conflict between the flesh and the spirit at work in his life. We spent much time in the truth of our union with Christ and the death of the old man in Adam, or the death of the old man in Adam, the fact that sin no longer has any power over us or over the body. We spent a number of weeks on that. We saw that the effects of sin called the flesh are still continue in the Christian, but the Christian is no longer under the slavery to sin, and sin has no more power in the Christian. If you're a Christian, you choose to sin. You don't sin by compulsion. You don't sin by the demand over you in slavery to sin. You choose sin and choose to follow sin. Sometimes it's just an automatic reaction because we haven't learned to live in a holy life and develop holy habits. But generally speaking, a Christian, more and more as he grows, sin becomes a very clear and definite step away from God to fulfill our own pleasures. Paul says, do not indulge the flesh in any way. Romans 8, by the way, Romans 5 and 6 are good verses, good chapters to study on that. I've written those different chapters in your bulletin, and you can look up these areas. Paul says, put off the old man and put off the new man. Two good scriptures there, Ephesians 4 and Colossians chapter 3. Paul says we are to crucify the flesh. It means cutting ourselves off from an access to sin and saying no to temptation. And we saw a couple weeks back that Jesus even says, if you need to go to the point of poking out your eye or cutting off your hand, as it were, and figuratively he's saying, you need to be that aggressive with sin and that determined to turn away from sin. Here's something I suggest to you. You might not have thought of this or done this in the past, but something you might want to do. Ask God to give you a greater vision of sin. Ask God to give you a greater vision of sin. We ask God to give us a greater vision of himself and of our work and so on. But ask him to give you a greater vision of sin. Ask God to show you the rebellion, the deception, the destruction, the loveless brutality of sin so that you will not want anything to do with it. It'll be ugly. It'll be you'll despise it, you'll hate it, and you'll turn away from it. You'll fear its power, its deceptive power, as you begin to understand sin in a greater fashion. So not only do we need a greater vision of God, we also need a greater vision of sin. Interesting, the Puritans used to pray for the gift of tears. In other words, a sensitivity to sin and a conviction of sin and a grief over their sin, so that they might walk in holiness. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about there. Okay, so have the Spirit of God, know justification by faith, and walk in justification by faith, and do not indulge the flesh. Now number four. We will not walk in the Spirit if we are only focusing on saying no to sin. There's a no aspect to walking in the Spirit, but there's a far stronger yes aspect to walking in the Spirit, which we need to concentrate on more and more. We must fill our life with God and with good. Paul says we're not to indulge the flesh, rather we are to serve one another in love. And there is so much packed into that one phrase of serve one another in love. We're to express, like we read in Galatians 5:6, express our faith through love. Love is yielding to God by giving our lives to others. Love is having a servant heart and a humble mind. Love is accepting God's will for my life and living for God's glory, no matter what the consequences are to me. God is always calling us to a greater abandonment of ourselves to Him. And the whole area of sanctification is packed into this serve one another in love. To walk in the Spirit and to serve others in love fulfills the law, pleases God, keeps us from sin, and furthers the purposes of God and God's kingdom. We need to expand our vision of God and our fellowship with God and our service to God each and every day. Focus not just on the negative and the no and battling sin, but filling ourselves with a vision of God and God's purposes and serving others in love, so that we might move forward and not just always be battling sin that is around us. Part of our responsibility of walking in the Spirit is to pursue God and God's truth and the filling of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 18, I think it is, it says that we are to ever be filled with the Spirit. I encourage you often and over, maybe every single Sunday, for you to meet with God on a day-to-day basis, meeting God in His Word, meeting God through prayer. You talk to people, and I say, well, my life's kind of going on the rails the last week. Well, have you been reading your Bible this week? Well, no, I really haven't. And, oh, well, is there a correlation here? You know, meet with God. Get refreshed with God. Get renewed with God. Refresh with God on a day-to-day basis. Have a vision of God, and it'll certainly keep you from sin. And we need to have that in our life on a day-to-day basis. If I can put it in a rather crude fashion or a simplistic fashion, take time to have a coffee with God each and every day. Tell Him what's on your heart, just in that conversational way. Ask God what's on His heart and what His purposes are, and get more in line, in parallel, and in flow with the purposes that God has for you and for those around you. And if you want to do it that way, and sometimes I do that, I'll just go to Timmy's and get a coffee. I'll come over. I'll just walk around. I'm just going to have a coffee with you, God, and we're going to talk, and I'm going to tell you what's going on with me, and I'd like you to tell me what you want to do in the church and what you want to do with my life in the future. And you just talk with God, like Enoch walked with God. And you just do that on a day-to-day basis. Get in God's Word, and just like Paul, David said, you know, open my eyes that I might see wondrous things from your law. Show me something about yourself or about me through your word and fellowship with God in His Word. Just absolutely important to connect with God on a day-to-day basis. Yes, we need to say no. Yes, we need to restrict ourselves in areas where we know that we're vulnerable to sin. But the greater benefit will be in seeking God on a day-to-day basis. Devil will do anything to get you busy and get you out of that situation and out of that time. And you need to get connected with God and refreshed with God and renewed with God on a day-to-day basis. And number five is the result of regularly walking in the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit. And fruit needs to be evident in your life. And if it's not evident, something is wrong. And what's wrong is that you're not walking consistently in the Spirit. You might be walking in the Spirit and walking in the flesh, back and forth, and that fruit is so slow in growing. Love and godliness need to be more and more apparent in your Christian life if you are walking in the Spirit. If the fruit of the Spirit is not evident in your life, you need to go back over these 5 points and find out where you are grieving or quenching the Spirit. Are you born again? Do you even have the Holy Spirit of God in your life? Perhaps you need to come to faith in Christ and start the walk of the Spirit. Are you still trying to be righteous by your own efforts and getting discouraged in the process? You need to learn what justification by faith is all about. And then you need to walk in justification by faith. One of the one of the greatest expressions of faith would be when you just fall into sin and then you turn around and you say, God, I'm sorry, but I know that I'm righteous in your sight. You will absolutely not feel righteous before God, but that confession is a confession of faith, and it'll get you standing on a firm foundation where holiness can become a true part of your life. So learn justification by faith and learn how to apply it on a day-to-day basis. Are you quite content to continue to indulge the flesh and enjoy your sin? Maybe that's why you're not walking in the Spirit. There's no compatibility between sin and the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:17 is very clear on that. You need to go through a crucifixion of that sin. We talked about what it would feel like a couple of weeks back to be crucified from a sin that you have. And, you know, what the the psychological effects and what the emotional effects might be on your life in a kind of a withdrawal. Some sins even produce an adrenaline rush in our body, and to go without that, you know, that's like a crucifixion. So, but you need to say no to sin and turn your body towards serving God and serving others. So are you stuck in the place that you just really want to indulge the flesh and you really don't want to go any further? You're quite content with life as you have it and are not wanting to go further. Are you yielding your life to God so God can use you to serve others in love as He chooses each day? And that's that whole area of, I'm going to do God's will, not mine. I have all these dreams and all these preferences, God, and so here's the list, and I want you to have this worked out by 2009 and by 2011. Well, that's not serving others in love. That's serving yourself and serving your own agenda. And we need to be yielded to God, abandoned to Him, given ourselves to Him, and say, God, You direct my path. You set my agenda for this week, and God will do that. If you're truly abandoned to Him. So maybe that's where you're stuck in walking in the Spirit. You still want to hang on to you and your life and not give it over to God. Are you getting to know God better every day and learning His will through His Word? Maybe it's just a matter of daily fellowship with God that is keeping you from a consistent walk in the Spirit that will produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Okay, walking in the Spirit is to walk in life, in joy, in peace, and in the freedom for which Christ has set you free. Walking in the Spirit is not a life of constant miracles. Contrary to what people on TV might tell you, walking in the Spirit is not a life of constant miracles and things that are experiences, great dramatic experiences that are taking place all around you. Walking in the Spirit is not a constant adrenaline rush like riding the Mindbuster or the Behemoth at Canada's Wonderland. I sure would like to do that, though. I think I'm going to jump out of a plane next year at my 60th birthday. That's my next goal. 50th was the hot air balloon. This one is the parachute. So anyways, but that'll be an adrenaline rush, but it'll only last for a moment. But that's not what the Christian life in general is to be all about. I'll make sure my insurance is paid up. Walking in the Spirit is to be a steady, growing relationship with the living God and a greater participation in His eternal purposes. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah, the prophet, writes one of the greatest biblical descriptions of the majesty of God. Read Isaiah 40 this afternoon if you have some time. It's a wonderful chapter. I think it doesn't quite begin with the description of the majesty of God. Maybe around 10 or verse 10 or 11 it starts there. Isaiah ends the chapter with these words of what a vision of the majesty of God can do. He says, God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, some translations write, those who wait on the Lord, that's probably the one we know much better. I like that. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It's exciting to soar like an eagle in a certain circumstance that we're going through. It's exciting to run and not grow weary. I've been involved in different things where the adrenaline is just pumping and you're just excited. And when it ends, you just crash right down. But that's great to enjoy that, to be in a situation where you run and don't grow weary. But the greatest evidence of God's strength and power is shown in the steady, loving, holy daily walk in the midst of ordinary circumstances where we will spend most of our time. As we walk in the Spirit, we shall walk and not faint. day by day. 9 to 5, 9 to 5, 9 to 5, or whatever your shift might be. In the dreariness, in the commonplace, in the ordinary, in the routine, in the studies, in the exams, in the tests, if you refresh yourself with God day by day, in those circumstances, you will bear fruit in your life and you will be a nourishment to others along the way. You will not faint and you will not grow weary until you reach your home in glory. Like Enoch, he walked with God and was not. Let's learn to walk with God in the Spirit on a day-to-day basis. Not looking for those big adrenaline rush situations, enjoying them when they come. Not looking for being on a constant high, but enjoying that when it comes. Not being in a low depression all the time, but continuing on when that happens. Sometimes you go along with God for days or weeks, and just God isn't there. But you have to walk by faith, not by sight. Let's continue to walk in the Spirit day by day, and we will bring fruit in our lives and fruit to God as well. Scripture is very important in that whole process. Spending God, time with God each day is very important in that whole process. Let's close with a song, and let's stand for that. Now I Belong to Jesus.